This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Taking a look at the issues surrounding the health and well-being of our LGBTIQ+ communities. This is Well Well Well, brought to you by the team from Thorn Harbour Health on Joy and the Community Radio Network.
You're listening to Well Well Well. I'm your host, Cal Hawk, and here on Well Well Well, we delve into the issues intersecting and interwoven into the health and well-being of our gender, sex, and sexually diverse communities. Now, Well 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 is produced on the lands of the Boonwurrung people here at Joy Studios in the Victorian Pride Center, and this week's show actually features conversations I had on the lands of the Turrbal people when I was in Brisbane, or Meanjin, for IAS 2023, the Conference on HIV Science. The five-day international conference IAS 2023 occurs every 2 years and showcases the latest clinical research and scientific developments on the global response to HIV and AIDS. Now, while the recent IAS 2023 conference in Brisbane focused on HIV and AIDS, it also explores testing, treatment, and prevention of other STIs and bloodborne viruses. One of the methods of prevention being explored for STIs like gonorrhea, chlamydia, and syphilis is DoxyPep. You may have heard some folks talking about it here in Australia, but DoxyPep is the use of doxycycline to prevent the acquisition of those STIs. And I sit down at the conference with Dr. Chase Cannon to talk about some of the findings from using DoxyPep and his work in the United States. That's coming up on this week's episode of Well, Well, Well here on Joy in the Community Radio Network.
From HIV to COVID-19, STIs and everything in between, you're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy and the Community Radio Network.
Now, you may have heard about some folks using DoxyPep or the use of doxycycline to prevent STIs like syphilis. With more evidence emerging about this STI prevention strategy, I was able to talk to Dr. Chase Cannon about his findings and what this could mean for our communities. Here's some of that conversation. Can you introduce yourself for our listeners and what you presented on today?
Sure. My name is Chase Cannon. I am a sexual health physician. I also treat people living with HIV in Seattle, Washington, in the United States.
Your presentation today was around DoxyPep. And a lot of listeners on our show are familiar with PEP when we often talk about it for HIV, you know, taken within 72 hours, and then you take it for basically 4 weeks after a risk exposure to HIV. But how does DoxyPep work?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the concept is similar. So PEP stands for post-exposure prophylaxis. So that means you're taking a treatment after you have a sexual exposure, and that is to prevent infection. So in this case, we're using a very common antibiotic called doxycycline that you take a dose of 200 milligrams within 24 hours, but up to 72 hours after condomless sex to prevent gonorrhea, chlamydia, or syphilis.
How well does it work? What do we know so far?
Yeah, we have three really good trials, so sort of the highest level of evidence we call randomized trials that now show us from a status neutral approach, meaning for people living with HIV or people who are HIV negative taking PrEP, that taking DoxyPep reduces the risk for getting any of those STIs, bacterial STIs, chlamydia, gonorrhea, or syphilis by about 65% overall.
That sounds like a really great benefit. You mentioned there are some maybe secondary benefits to taking DoxyPep. What were those?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the U.S. trial, some of our qualitative scientists did interviews with participants to understand a little bit more about how this impacted their life, what their experience was. So people said that this gave them peace of mind. It reduced stigma about STIs. So people are often really annoyed and frustrated to have to disclose STIs to partners to take off time from work to go get treated and tested. And so this relieved a little bit of that for them. It also increased sexual pleasure and gave people a sense of being proactive, and they were taking charge of their own sexual health.
Sexual pleasure, I think, is a thing a lot of people can get behind. We all love a bit of that. Do we know, does DoxyPep work evenly for everybody? Because your study was largely around men who have sex with men.
Yeah, so most of the trial data that we have currently, just because of the way that the studies were set up, were done in men who have sex with men and then transgender women. There was one study done in Kenya among cisgender women, and that study did not show the same effect for DoxyPep. But we think, and this is sort of new data that literally just came out hours ago at another conference in Chicago in the United States, but we think that largely has to do with the fact that the participants weren't quite taking the doxycycline the way that it was recommended.
Well, it sounds like it's a very live issue, and kind of the excitement of, you know, emerging science is that, you know, we are learning a little bit more as things go along here. You touched on it during your presentation. You know, we have a pretty good insight, I suppose, around some of the short-term effects. But what are some of the long-term things we need to keep monitoring if we're thinking about rolling out DoxyPep?
Yeah, so with any antibiotic that we use, I'm an infectious disease physician, so we think about what are the risks and benefits. And so obviously the benefit is this sort of sexual pleasure, the risk reduction for STIs. But on the other side of things, doxycycline treats other bacteria, other parasites in our body, not just the STIs. And so we have to be mindful about what that impact could be. So the thing that you will hear people talk about is something called antimicrobial resistance. So that's basically when bugs, for lack of a better term, that live in and on your body, what we call the microbiome, are either killed off by the doxycycline or somehow change because of the exposure to the antibiotic. And that could make them more resistant. And so the risk is that if you get an infection with some other bacteria, such as Staphylococcus aureus, which is really common, that there would be resistance and it would be a harder to treat infection. There is also some data now from trials that have been done where military recruits or people who were in the Peace Corps who took doxycycline for many, many days for things like malaria prophylaxis may experience longer-term effects. So there's some association with chronic diseases happening, such as diabetes or autoimmune conditions, and then even some studies can link it to cancer potentially in years to come.
So it sounds like it's a little bit of a watch this space. And I know some of the discussion today was it's not about necessarily everybody getting on DoxyPep, but maybe those most at risk. One of the things that you touched on is the importance of choice. And, you know, not necessarily just about Doxy, but around how we look after our sexual health and well-being. Could you touch on that for listeners?
Sure. I mean, you know, as a sexual health physician, I think that's sort of my job. It's not to judge you for whatever you, you know, this is a potential option. But again, the risk and benefit is something that you have to consider. And so if you're a person who's never had a sexual transmitted infection ever, maybe this is not the intervention for you because for whatever you're doing, it's working. You're not exposed to an STI and you've never gotten one. But for people who have had, you know, syphilis three times in the past 2 years, this might be something that is really important to them to improve their quality of life and their sexual health.
If someone is interested in this, and I mean, of course, it's so different depending on parts of the world, but let's say you've got a physician that, you know, you have a good relationship with, and you have had, a couple STIs or a few STIs in the last, you know, year or so, you know, is that a conversation folks should be afraid to approach their physician about?
No, I don't think so. I think it's always something that you can broach as a client or patient and talk to your healthcare provider about. I think what I will say is that the fervor for this and the interest varies around the world. So this is, of course, very controversial. And so in my country, in the United States, there are even providers who are against this completely, even though we have all of this great evidence. And so I think it really just depends on where you live and whether or not this can be used as what we call off-label, meaning it's not being used to treat an established infection. It's being used to prevent an infection. And so, it may or may not be feasible for you to get it, but you can always start the conversation. And a lot of times, you know, we see that our patients and the community have to do the education themselves, which is an unfortunate burden on the queer community. But that is, I think, something that you can sort of do for your own health and then also for the health of your community is sort of make our healthcare providers aware about this intervention.
Well, thank you for having the conversation with us, and all the best as you make your way back to the States.
Thank you very much.
That has been another episode of Well, Well, Well. If you want to catch up on the latest episodes of Well, 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 make your way to joy.org.au/well, well, well, where you can listen to this and previous episodes of Well, 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 as well as subscribe to our podcast. And while you're online, head to thornharbor.org/mpox. That's thornharbor.org/mpox. We have had a couple cases this week of mpox here in Melbourne. If you missed out on getting your vaccination previously, only got your first shot, and especially if you're planning some overseas travel, make sure you get fully vaccinated. You can contact Thorn Harbor Health Center Clinic here at the Victorian Pride Center, or head to thornharbor.org/mpox, where you can find more info as well as links to find the nearest service for you to get your monkeypox vaccination. We'll be back next week with another episode of Well, Well, Well. I'm Cal Hawk, and until next time, look after yourself and those around you. You're listening to Joy and the Community Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to Well, 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 supported by Thorn Harbor Health on Joy and the Community Radio Network. For more LGBTIQ+ health and well-being and much more, check out Thorn Harbor on social media at Thorn Harbor or via the website thornharbor.org.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.